Hello, America, and to the rest of our listeners around the world, you're listening to Let's Weekend. This episode is for November 11th, 2016, and we're pretty sure the bomb dropped.
Something happened. Yeah.
Things.
Yeah.
We don't recommend any of them, and we really, really mean that this time.
Yeah.
We're not getting around. So, American elections come and gone. You probably heard about it.
Yeah. It's kind of sad that the American elections are overshadowing the fact that it's Veterans Day.
Just saying. Also, isn't it Armistice Day? Well, no. When's Armistice Day? Is it the same day?
Yeah.
Okay. But yes, today is Veterans Day, so, you know, if you got a veteran, go, I don't know, buy him a beer or something.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Also, make sure they got good health care, because veterans kind of get treated like shit in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll discuss all of that and more
soon
on the rest of this episode of Let's Weekend. So tonight we're joined, as always, by Filippo D'Onofrio, Chris Solotsugi, and Teresa Sammons.
Good day, evening, night, or whatever time zone you happen to be in.
Yeah. All right, so before we get into the craziness and the wailing and gnashing of teeth, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Caught me drinking water there. Sorry about that. So, yeah, I'm still motoring my way through Heir of Navarone. I'm really, really liking this book a lot. It's picked up quite a bit. There's a good bit of politics going on. it's not quite as complicated as what's going on in the U.S., but anyway. Good stuff, good action. Yeah, it's definitely a series that you should probably check out. You haven't checked out.
Oh, yeah.
Rhaera, definitely worth the read. Other than that, let's see, what have I been doing? Well, Black Friday, I think, is next week, so we're going to start seeing some stupidity there. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to get some decent deals on Amazon and whatnot. But it's like, I'm not actually going to go out to buy things. I mean, why would you do that? So, yeah, hoping to find
Black
some good
Friday happens down here on the 26th, on the 25th this year.
25th, yeah, so it's a couple of weeks. So,
Of course, I say 25th. It, in truth, actually kind because it's supposed to be Black Friday, but they kind of sort of open up and start around 10 o'clock at night on Thursday.
Yeah, and then it goes for the rest of the next week for some reason.
Yeah.
So.
And if you do online shopping, it starts like a few days ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
You started doing stuff early, spread it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm basically doing everything I can to make sure I don't go out of the house that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go anywhere. Even though I'm in Canada, there's still a lot of stupidity on that day anyway, for some reason. So, yeah, the least I can interact with other people that day, the better. So, yeah. But I am hoping to pick up some decent gaming deals. And it looks like there's going to be some pretty good options out there. So, yeah, keep an eye on those. Other than that, I've been, listening to a lot of music. Because,
of course.
Yeah, I got to do something to take my mind off the stupidity of this week.
Yeah.
Like, I've talked about Ambush before. I've talked about Holy Grail. This week I've settled down and listened to the two albums from Scorpion Child and holy shit.
AKA The Child, as fans like to call them.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a band out of Texas.
Austin,
to be precise. And
it's where else would they be from?
Yeah. It's imagine if you took Led Zeppelin, the Scorpions, Deep Purple, Rainbow, and threw them all into a blender. LSD. Yeah, with some LSD. You would probably get Scorpion Child on the other end. It's a nice, delicious smoothie of just classic rock goodness. Yeah, check on YouTube. Many of their songs are there. Probably both of their albums. If you look hard enough, you'll find them there. Good stuff. I like this new trend of traditional heavy metal that's coming along. So, yeah, I got to find more of that. It's good stuff. And apart from that, well, I'm learning to program in Ruby because Ruby's fun. Yeah, it's a very readable language. I'm getting my head around it about, you know, 3/4 of the way through the course. So probably finish that up earlier this week. Well, early next week, rather. And then move on to Ruby on Rails. And then hopefully get into building my Shopify app and maybe make some money. So that'd be nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of been my week. It's kind of uneventful given that everything else has gone on. But how about you guys?
All right. So, Chris, what about you?
So, with everything that's happened this week, I watched what I call Trump documentaries. Mm-hmm. The first one is this little thing called The Walking Dead.
dude.
showing the soon, what's going to happen soon, zombies.
And, rising from the dead. Just devour the living.
The Second Amendment still in full force. Yeah, so watched season 6 or about halfway through season 6. And enjoying it and kind of found it ironic that the last episode I watched is one where a building collapsed, tore open a wall, and allowed the zombie mass to take over this encampment. So,
Jesus, no, couldn't possibly be any symbolism there.
Yeah.
No.
And, yeah, still going along with that. The other thing is Independence Day Resurgence, the sequel to the popular
Cheese Fest
96 movie.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites growing up. And the sequel is weird. So they brought back as many of the actors as they could. Whitmore is back, along with his daughter. Dylan, Will Smith's son in that movie, is also there. The way they write out Will Smith's character is weird. He dies in a training accident, like a flight training accident. And then his son also goes into sort of being a pilot. Is very well decorated. And so the whole thing is that with the defeating the aliens, they take their technology, learn from it, integrate it into all of what they're doing. So at this point, they've essentially kind of colonized the moon a bit, have a base up there doing stuff. They've got sort of the laser weapons and such. Even though the aliens never really show guns or anything like that in the original. Here they have, like, laser guns. They have new, like, VTOL-style ships that can fly from Earth to the moon, all that sort of stuff. The weird thing about this sequel is that the pacing is kind of way off. With the original, they kind of went over the course of 3 days, I think it was, and sort of were able to have, like, a good pace to it. Sort of the reveal of the aliens showing up and the mystery of what they wanted, what was going on, and then the ensuing attacks and how the humans responded. And here, they kind of present it as like Whitmore's speech in the original is sort of somehow broadcasted as like a distress signal by the aliens. And so they send a gigantic ship in response. But along the way, there's this other alien ship that appears that the moon base shoots down. And what they find in that, there's like a container they find on that ship after it crashes on the moon that includes this sphere AI thing that is the remnant of another alien civilization that went beyond their own physical bodies and just turned digital. So this sphere is like an AI that wanted to help the humans learn the weaknesses of the other aliens that are going to attack. It's a very weird plot point.
Kind of sounds like one of those things that you shouldn't overthink too much, otherwise it just starts not making sense.
Yeah, so the aliens that attack, they bring this gigantic ship that essentially parks across the Atlantic Ocean. That's how big it is. So like hard to parks miss. Along New York, Washington, D.C., and all that on the East Coast, and then in Britain and in Africa, that sort of stuff. It's really weird. And their whole plan is to drill into the molten core of the Earth. And then that essentially allows them to power their whatever the hell they're doing and kills all of humanity. And they get pretty close to doing it, like 2 minutes from getting to the core. Very weird stuff. The pacing just gets really weird. It's just real fast moving along. It's like, wait, what? What's going on? What? There's also a weird bit where the queen is a big deal. It's apparently the reason that they won last time is that they killed the queen alien in that mothership. And so now there's an even bigger queen. And she comes to want to go after this sphere, the AI sphere, because they're afraid of it giving the humans the advantage. And it ends up, when she shows up full force, it's kind of like a kaiju battle.
Oh, in a sense. Of course.
And so you got these humans essentially trying to fake the whatever reading the sphere is giving off to trick the queen into coming out and then blowing her up. And it's a very weird stuff. It's not a very good movie.
No kidding.
A huge fan of the original is like, I have to see this. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
I just need to see it. It's very weird. And apparently the sphere potentially will unlock much greater technology for them, for the humans, including like interstellar travel, all that sort of stuff. But I don't know that they're going to actually get to the third movie.
Yeah. Sphere probably won't.
You remember the scientist from Area 51? Remember the scientist with the crazy white hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't die. He just goes into a 20-year coma.
Don't really think that's how that works.
No.
And so when he wakes up, there's, I guess it's supposed to be like comedy because he is playing like the clueless surrogate for the the viewer. So like, whoa, what's going on here? What happened? All the while he's in his hospital gown with his butt showing and all that stuff.
God.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Not very good. But I got it for the rental for 75% off, so it was like a buck. So it was well worth it. So I've been playing a lot more Hitman, as I talked about on the day zero updates. There's more weird stuff you can do in that Hokkaido map. Because the whole big part of it is the surgery that the one guy is going under in this really advanced but still legal sort of medical facility. And you can fuck with that in quite a few ways. Since a lot of it is AI and computer controlled. So it's trying to, so with the AI part, you can sort of try to override some of that. Cause you can just go turn off the vitals or have it inject weird things into him. So there's a certain point where I made poisoned stem cells to inject into him. It's like, oh, that's ridiculous, but fun. like I used Fugu poison for that. But I also used Fugu poison to poison sushi for the other person that you're supposed to kill. And yeah, what I did is I made a save before that, killed her, went back. And sort of the way it does it with the challenges and such, as long as you go back, it'll still keep track of the challenges you did later on in that save. So you're able to kind of splinter off this save in various ways and still get credit for the things that you do, which is cool in the sense of not wanting to necessarily start over for each individual thing. But also been playing some of the other stuff, the other maps in there. The Sapienza map, which is the second one in Italy. I found a way into this weird little, not really castle tower, but it's styled like that, that has cannons on top of it. So you find cannonballs in the gunpowder little caps that you put in there with it. And supposedly there's a way, if you time it right, one of the targets tries to fly out on a plane, you can shoot it down with a cannon. I have not figured that whole part out. But before that, I found an explosive golf ball that all I have to do is just throw it and it explodes. But also, one of the targets is a big golf fan, so he gets... He's like a golf instructor, and so if you change the golf ball they're going to use with the explosive one, you get some nice, fun physics happening. As he goes to swing the golf ball, and just bodies go flying around. But it's, but also you just keep the golf ball, and it's a nice little explosive. So I busted open a wall that goes into the secret underground lab that is under this mansion. It's a lot of fun, a lot of silly, stupid fun. And yeah, definitely looking forward to playing more of that. Trying to get my mastery up in some of these maps and unlock some of the sillier items that are in there. So and the other thing is I got my PS4 Pro yesterday. I got
8 p.m.
I got 8 p.m. but it came about like 6:30.
Oh, wow.
So, not as bad. I swapped out the hard drive with the 2 terabyte hard drive that I got. I got like an external drive that I just stripped out the internal hard drive. And swapped that out and put the 1 terabyte into that external closure. So now I got a nice little external hard drive.
Which is a good thing to do anyway, because the internal drive is that they give you is actually really slow, so
I don't know if this one is any better, but at least it's twice the storage. I'm still downloading stuff. I got a bunch of stuff downloaded, installed a bunch of the PS4 Pro enhanced stuff. Haven't really played a ton yet.
The Hitman has a pro patch, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it
doesn't do anything.
It's not mentioned anywhere. It's like, this is the one that I have is the one.
Yeah.
It says, go to hitman.com/updates. And you go there, and it doesn't really list what's in, like, this is what patch 1.19 has in it. So it's weird.
Yeah.
It's just like a little news article. It's like, here's what we're doing for 4K, the PS4 Pro. It's like, well, which update is it? Is it the one I already have? I don't know. So yeah, I am looking forward to trying out more, but so far it feels like the dashboard itself is more responsive. Even going to my heart, like a little library, and I have over 500 items attached to my account.
Yeah.
For PS4 specific stuff, like just scrolling all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah.
And sort of stopping. Everything shows up real fast. So it's like really nice and responsive instead of having the lag of it like, oh, wait, you're this far. Okay, this is what's supposed to be there. Yeah. Here's the thumbnails and all that. Real nice and responsive, which I believe is because they put an extra gig of DDR3 RAM in there. That's just for...
Yeah, just for the dashboard.
Having the like an extra app in standby and making the dashboard more responsive and all that, so the games can just focus on the DDR5 RAM. So
the Slim does this too.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, so good. The new controller is pretty much the same, but they have like a little strip on the front of the touchpad that is transparent.
Yeah.
So that the light bar can be seen through that.
Yeah. So you can see it yourself.
When it's actually showing information through that light bar, you can actually see it. Let me see what else. That's pretty much it. The power and the eject buttons is a weird little plastic strip. It almost feels like you're hitting contact nodes with it.
Yeah.
It's like this flimsy little plastic strip. You push it in, it's like, oh, this is just like a piece of plastic to hit a button that's further in.
Yeah. At least they're tactile.
Yeah.
You hate capacitive buttons.
But it's also this kind of like weird little plastic strip you see that's hanging down below. Yeah, I was trying to use a USB thumb drive for the firmware stuff for the new hard drive. And my little thumb drive couldn't even plug in all the way on the front. So luckily there's that back USB
port, that I
put it in back there to actually get it to recognize.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean it's not plugged in? I just plugged it in. It's like, well, it's not plugged in all the way because the little gaps that are in there aren't big enough for weird thumb drives.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's weird to have that little like double decker thing. But yeah, right below that, like that plastic button that I was talking about, is like the light strip for it to tell you like when it's in standby or on or all that stuff. The disk drive is in the top part. USB slots are in the lower part, and hard drive's in the back. Sort of similar to the way it was in the original, sort of this little plastic. You don't have to pull off, like, part of the top of it off, but it's just this little plastic thing you pull off. You just unscrew the bay and all that.
Yeah, that slides
it's
out.
It's pretty easy. Yeah. So, yeah. So far, so good. It's nice starting over as far as, like, hard drive space is concerned, because it's like, okay, now I can just put anything I want here and not feel like, oh, I'm not going to delete all these other games because these are too small to worry about.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I got Infamous installed for the first time in a long time. And Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, and all that stuff. I got options.
Yeah.
That's always good. So, yeah, how about you, Teresa?
This has been the week to finish things, I think. I finished up Stranger Things, Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have so many little theories running through my head. I have, I think, more questions now than I had before.
That's how they get you.
Yes, it is.
That's how they make sure you're checking in for season two.
Oh my gosh, I'm totally.
At least you know there's season two.
You know?
Yeah. Like the rest of us that finish, you're like, well, I hope there's something.
Yeah, because that was, yeah, the box. Oh my god. And I finished, albeit a very short series, but still good, the Fortunes and Misfortunes of Moll Flanders with the very great, damn it, I just blanked on her name. She plays River Song in Doctor Who.
Hmm.
Anyway, you guys can look her up. Hmm. But you get to see lots of boobies, so that's kind of awesome, too.
I'm looking up right now.
Alex Kingston. She was also in ER, which I think ER, one of those doctor shows I didn't watch.
Hmm.
I think the only doctor show I ever watched was MASH and Scrubs. So you kind of get where my doctor interests lie. Oh, and that one with that guy that spun off of the Golden Girls, Emptiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before I had options other than broadcast TV. That really dated me, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I totally remember that show, too. So.
I finished up Merlin, The Lost Years, and I will definitely be reading the rest of that young adult series. That was pretty cool. A little trippy, but pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we caught up on Star Wars Rebels, so... I am really enjoying this season. At first, I thought that I wasn't going to like the way that the story arc was going. And I guess you kind of know it's going to have to end poorly because, you know, these guys are not in in the movies.
Well, they're going to lose. I mean, we know that's what happens. By the time A New Hope is, the Resistance is, the Rebel Alliance is almost gone.
Yeah, so, yeah. I just kind of want to see what happens. I really like Kanan and What's-His-Face, but I really want to see what happens with Ahsoka.
Yeah.
So that she still has not, well, no spoilers.
Right.
I did return to something that I had set aside for quite a while. There was a big update to Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have Amiibo support, which, you know, I don't even have the little attachment, and I don't have the new 3DS. I have the 3DS XL, and I'm not going to buy a new 3DS because, geez, why? I mean, why? Why?
Yeah, I bought mine because my other 3DS XL was worn out.
Well, that would, okay. I guess if it broke, yeah, I would do that, but... Yeah. Yeah, we're in a holding pattern right now.
Yeah.
So I'm really liking the new content in that. They have a camper van now. They added a whole new area to your village or city, whatever you want to call it.
They added the Rust Belt to Animal Crossing.
Well, yeah, they have a camper van.
There's people griping about their jobs.
But the animals who are hanging out camping there, who you can entice to move into your town, they're secondary characters mostly. So, you know, like Pascal and Booker and well, you guys probably don't even play this. So. But it's pretty cool. I can have boy hair now, so I look totally butch. Well, I did first. That was an accident. And then I changed it to spiky midnight blue punk rock hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a leather jacket going on that I read from a QR code. And it's pretty neat. So I'm enjoying playing again. And I got a little bitched out by my villagers. You haven't been here in 4 months. We thought you were dead. I'm like, guys. You got nothing on Tamagotchis.
Damn it, I'm the mayor. I can do what I want.
Yeah. And I have been playing Civ 6.
Yeah.
And it's always like this at the beginning, where it's like, what the fuck? It's like going from Windows 7 to Windows 8, and you're like, what? My brain is pouring out of my eye sockets. But I am enjoying it. I'm not quite getting the whole religion aspect. So I've only played a few games so far. And I could look up how, but that takes all the fun out, at least figure it out myself.
Gandhi's still an asshole, though.
Yeah, I haven't played as Gandhi yet.
Don't worry, you will.
Love, abso-freaking-lutely love Sean Bean doing the narration. Oh, nice. God. Sploosh. And that's where I'm going to leave that one.
But have you run into any of the weird AI issues that people are complaining about?
Not really. The one thing that I don't get is that this one civilization kept denouncing me because I hadn't spread my religion to them. And I'm thinking, is this legit? Is this really how we're going to play this game? Is this how it's going to happen? You're going to declare freaking war on me eventually because I haven't sent missionaries to you? I haven't even been able to generate a prophet. Well, no, I did generate a great prophet in that one, and I was able to found a religion. But I had, like, the game that I was playing today, I have over 31,000 freaking religion points, and I still haven't generated a great prophet. What the hell? So it's getting in there, wrapping my mind around it, and I haven't quite gotten the hang of city placement and not overcrowding, so I have enough areas, and how quickly to develop and research sanitation so I can build neighborhoods, because I'm constantly out of housing and they're bitching left and right because people don't have anywhere to live. Go live in a fucking dumpster. I don't care. But yeah. But been playing Forza as well, and aside from my computer really crapping out on me whenever I get into the garage area and try to do stuff. VRAM issues. But other than that, gosh, that is fun. It's a lot of fun. Still working on it. I think I'm going to spend a good amount of time with that game. Yeah. I would say that, yeah, even at full price, that is definitely a good value. And I've been playing Pokemon Go. There's another, there's another event going on right now. And it's like every single Pokestop is just, it's like being a woman at a bar. There's balls everywhere. It's just, they're all over the place. So it's cool, and there's daily bonuses for this, that, and the other, and people are kind of chilling out a little bit, so I'm taking that opportunity to go and prestige up a bunch of gyms that are already Mystic, and I have taken down a few gyms and installed Mystic in there, because I'm Team Mystic, but the gyms that I take down, I don't know why, maybe I'm just going to the wrong places, people aren't coming there and popping me up and doing the same thing. So by the next day, you know, my Pokemon's back, fainted. But I do have a few in right now, so I'm getting some coins and looking forward to getting some more lucky eggs, because it is getting very, very hard to level up now. But yeah, it's still fun. I know not everybody's out there playing it, but it's still fun. And I've been trying to remedy my feelings about the election by sitting and just watching TED Talks constantly. You got to have some intellectualism somewhere, and that definitely fills that void right now. Because it is feeling like a void, and that's a lot, but that's it.
All right, then I guess it's my turn.
Yep.
Okay, so first and foremost, I think I'm just about wrapping up Cold Steel. Okay. I'm definitely on the downslope now. Nothing much to report now that, you know, I won't talk about when Day Zero update goes live, so I'll wait until then.
Still good.
Yeah, still great. Still good. Still engaging. What I think is the first major enemy faction of the game has finally shown itself.
Hmm.
And, you know, but then again, knowing how these games work, it's the they're probably just a front for another even more sinister group.
Yeah.
Or at best a patsy. Because that's what happened with Trails in the Sky. It's like, oh my god, there's this coup d'etat, and we gotta stop it, and then the game ends, and you find out, no, it's much, much, much worse than that. And then the game ends, and we don't get to play the sequel for like 5 years.
Yeah, that sucked.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see, I did that, I've been, of course, doing my usual reading. You know, I picked up a copy. I mentioned earlier, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, I wanted to start learning how to draw.
Yeah.
And one of the books I picked up is a book called Drawing from the Right Side of the Brain.
Yeah.
And basically, its whole goal is to give you these sort of exercises and stuff so that your, for lack of a better term, your right side or creative side of your brain can operate freely without the quote-unquote left side or logical side of the brain trying to screw it up.
Yeah.
You know, because the logical side is the side that's constantly over-worrying about details and,
so it's kind of like making you high.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Without drugs.
But it freaking works. That's the amazing part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got that. I picked up a used copy of a very awesome Japanese fantasy novel by Noriko Ogiwara called the Dragon Sword and Wind Child, which is kind of like, if you really want to consider it, imagine if J.R.R. Tolkien was Japanese. And instead of relying on like Celtic and old Gaelic mythology, he relied on traditional Japanese creation myth and folklore.
You have my full attention.
Yep. It's actually first book in a trilogy. Bad news is the third one isn't in English yet. And might never will be. But you can read the first two. Yeah, so it's actually a lot of fun. It was originally, from what I've heard, originally written for written towards a younger audience because she grew up being a huge fan of stuff like Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia and stuff like that. So it's got that kind of, I don't want to necessarily say whimsy, but that kind of, I don't want to necessarily say lighthearted either, but it's got that sense of wonderment to it that, you know, you want out of a good children's book.
Yeah.
And, I've been reading a lot of those lately because this last week I kind of need it.
Yeah.
So I did that. And also, as usual, I've also been exercising. Now that the weather has gone down, you know, the temperature is down now to the 60s and 70s, I can go out and walk pretty much every afternoon without
melting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Into the pavement.
Mm-hmm. And the best part is that because I walk on that little track, I can not only, you know, tell the length and distance of what I've traveled, but I don't have to worry about any hills. Because I've tried walking around the block of my house before, and I can't do it more than twice.
Yeah, it's got to...
Because my knees just straight give out.
Right.
And so, yeah, pretty much it. That's pretty much been what I've been up to. So has anyone else got anything else they want to add?
No,
wait, I forgot. I went and picked up the DVD version of, first of all, a really great anime film that some of you might have heard of called The Place Promised in Our Early Days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, what's his name of? Let's see, I got Makoto Shinkai, that's his name. That's one of Makoto Shinkai's movies. They've pretty much established him as the new Miyazaki. but the great thing about this particular edition of The Place Promised in Our Early Days that I got, it also comes with the film that made him famous, Voices from a Distant Star, which is his famous short film that he wrote, directed, produced, drew and animated and acted in himself.
Jeez.
Yeah. In fact, the only other people who worked on it was his then girlfriend at the time, who voiced the female character along with him voicing the male character, and a friend of his that helped compose the music. So other than that, it was literally a one-person project.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing. Especially for a one-person project.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he uses some shortcuts here and there is kind of obvious. But despite that, the quality is amazing. And the story that it tells is amazing. It's nominally a science fiction film, but it's focused mostly on relationships.
Yeah.
So it's mostly about how this girl and her boyfriend, you know, they're a couple, and then there's a war that goes on between Earth and some aliens, and so she signs up to go off and fight, you know, the war. And the thing is, though, she has to go out into space, and, well, if you know anything about going out into space, then you probably know something about time dilation. And so basically the movie is about her sending text messages to her boyfriend, who in turn sends messages back to her as she's increasingly going this increasing distance.
Yeah.
You know, and as she goes out further, she never ages, but back on Earth, like, months and years pass. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I also saw Children who Chase Lost Voices. That was on Adult Swim last weekend, for anyone who didn't know that. That's another one of Shinkai's movies, and probably the closest to a Miyazaki-type movie that he's done. It's freaking amazing. he is one of the truly great filmmakers of our time.
Yeah.
Okay, so has anybody got anything else they want to add?
Nope.
Nah.
Nope.
Yeah, a lot of ground to cover, so.
All right, so I guess it's time.
I'm depressed.
Yeah. Once again, for everybody's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight, I'm just going to give you a little bit of quick piece of advice that you'll probably need, to remember in the coming days and months. Did you know that Canada is in fact not a part of the United States, but is in fact a sovereign nation with its own immigration laws? That you can't just up and move to Canada?
No, you're kidding.
Although.
And you have to have a passport to get there.
You have to have a passport to get there. You want to immigrate and become a citizen, you have to have at least $20,000 in the bank. You have to have a job lined up. You have to have no outstanding debts. And you have to have good credit.
Wait, what? No outstanding debts? Like student loan debt? Surely that's exempt.
Well, now that you mention it.
Is it?
I'll also point out that due to extenuating circumstances, some of those restrictions are going to be relaxed.
Yeah.
So, extenuating circumstances? Oh,
well, yeah. Donald Trump. He's in a very big extenuating circumstance.
Because for those of you who don't know, once the results of the election were done, the Canadian immigration website basically went kaput.
Yep.
For about 24 hours.
Yeah. 11.5 million applicants.
Yeah. Aren't you guys just going to love all those American refugees just flooding across the border?
Hey, we got room. That's what the borders are for.
Yeah, that's, he's not lying. Canada is the second largest country as far as landmass goes in the world, so.
And most of their population is in the lower, like, 10%.
Yeah, they're huddled up next to the border, yeah. Mostly for warmth. All right. So, I've already mentioned it. I might as well go ahead and say it. President Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat that because it bears repeating. Because you need to hear it again. Just to let it sink in. President, as in chief executive of the United States government and commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy, Donald J. Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Cheeto himself is now your president. So,
well, in 2 months.
Yeah.
Brock still got 2 months, got until January.
Yeah.
Or he's actually sworn in. And for the record, the actual Electoral College's votes don't cast their ballots until December 19th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So I got to ask you, Phil, how is Canada looking at this?
For one, just bewildered and, yeah. Wondering, because we had a kind of a similar situation here in Quebec with, we had a very unpopular candidate. Her name was Pauline Marois. And she was separatist, hardline separatist. And in one of our elections, she ran and won because the voter turnout was such that basically her base was enough to carry it. That did not happen. That did not happen again.
Yeah, everybody seems to have been having these issues. Australia, and Great Britain, or UK, rather. It doesn't seem like this is simply isolated with America.
Yeah.
And, I actually read something very interesting about the cycle of history and how people with, you know, the kind of study and really the ability to pick it apart and say, well, what does this mean? And let's back up from the present and take a look and see if there's a trend here. And it talked about, you know, like the Black Death was a trend that wiped out a good portion of the population, the Spanish Inquisition, War of Roses, the World Wars. And the opinion of that scholar was that we're due for another one of these mostly human-created catastrophes, and that, you know, the people who live through it don't seem to understand how they can come out on the other side. And I guess maybe people in the Cold War felt that way too. So it was a very interesting read, and I really hope he's wrong.
Yeah.
So I think we need to go ahead and talk about who our asshole of the week is.
Yeah.
Our asshole of the week is you, if you didn't go out and vote.
If you are eligible and registered to vote and you didn't go, you are a bad person. You should be ashamed
of yourself. Or if you failed to register. Come on.
I mean, yeah, keep in mind that for certain parts of the country, it's actually exceptionally difficult to register.
Yeah, well, it depends on when you move and whatnot, but if you've been living in the same damn place for 3 years and you haven't bothered to register, I'm not giving them a pass.
There's also been some things that have been passed in places like Wisconsin and Ohio that have made it exceptionally hard for, say, minorities to register. Need like special cards that are hard to get.
And there's also, purging of the voter registries and not letting the people who get purged know until they get to the actual voting booth.
Because that's
Yeah,
great.
that's a good point. I mean, earlier this year I did double check my voting status just to be sure. I mean, you never know what kind of crap's gonna happen.
Well, I have a couple of friends who didn't go vote, but they told me they would have voted for Trump anyway, so that they don't count.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about why. I don't know. I've been reading a lot, obviously. We all have. I mean, we've been trying to find solace in.
Well, I tell you what, we'll get to that in just a second,
Yeah,
but we still have to
let's.
talk about the guy who actually turned out to be our hero of the week.
Yeah, and
And guess who it was? It
it
was the
shouldn't
one
really be
guy.
that much of a surprise.
No. It was the one guy that seemed to have the clearest head of everyone. The guy who basically had been warning us from the start that this was completely possible.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders,
Yep.
who basically declared that insofar as Donald Trump wants to pursue policies that are in fact progressive and would help the American people, then I will cooperate. But if he intends on going after your various minorities, LGBT peoples, and women, I am going to be his worst nightmare.
See, this is what I love about him, man. He got handed a shit blow this year, so bad. And he is still standing up and fighting for the common man and woman.
He's
And he
still
always
doing what
will.
he's been doing for some 50 years.
Yes, because that's who he is. And that's why people who have been paying attention, not even not just in Vermont, but people who have been paying attention for a few years now at least are aware of who he is, and this is why people love him.
It's been encouraging seeing some of these sorts of people and organizations sort of planning to keep going. Even under Trump, like Planned Parenthood plans to keep fighting and doing their thing, and ACLU's vow to fight Trump if he goes after some of the things he's actually been planning. So yeah, it's encouraging that these organizations aren't going to be just stepping aside.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's awesome. We're going to need him in the days and months to come. And, just it's unfortunate he's an old man now. He probably will not be able to run for president again. But he and Elizabeth Warren are still in the Senate. So we still have, they're still in there fighting for us, and the rest of us will be out fighting on the streets in the ballot boxes
In our neighborhoods.
in our neighborhoods. Because on November 8th, 2016, Donald J. Trump became president-elect of the United States.
And I, like Brandon, stayed up the entire night to watch the votes come in. And it was just getting progressively more depressing as the night was going on. It's
Yeah.
like, seriously?
By about midnight my time, I had done the math 40 different ways, and there was no way. There was no way.
There was no way. And
And then I got up a couple hours later and I didn't throw up. Many of my friends did. Which, seriously,
I can't believe it.
It's
stressful time.
Yeah. And yeah, that. Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow.
So,
we have to ask the question. What? Fuck.
Well, there are many reasons that.
How did this happen?
This
How
could have happened.
Could this happen?
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, there is blame to go around, but it's not necessarily the people that either the establishment or the media is telling you is supposed to be to blame.
Hmm.
Because, first and foremost, the media is partly to blame, even though they won't admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they normalized a lot of his plans.
Not only did they normalize it, they actually basically, part of the problem was that they basically treated this guy like a freak show, you know, like the strong man at the circus.
Like a reality show star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because again, nobody was taking him seriously.
I think they treated him like a cornucopia Thanksgiving feast of advertising because they were pulling in the viewers by continuing to cover him.
Hmm.
I mean, he was a cash cow for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the day after, you get all these fucking pundits and these fucking anchors on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News looking around themselves, all distraught and bewildered, wondering, how could this happen? Why didn't we see this coming? Well, it's kind of hard to see this coming when you basically treated Trump like you were carnies at the circus showing off the strong man, and the next thing you know, the strong man bought up all the stock in the company, and now he's the freaking CEO.
Yeah.
Bam!
You brought this on yourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not upset? Do you really think the media are upset?
Yeah, not really.
No! No! They should be.
Yeah, they wanted this to be a close race.
Yeah, it was a little closer than they would have liked.
Not only that, but they basically treated, you know, the Democratic candidate's victory as a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's one of the things they kind of...
That's the big problem. They refused to take Trump seriously.
Yeah.
Well, and they refused to give Bernie any kind of airtime whatsoever.
Whereas CNN would spend about an hour of waiting for a Trump speech and just show an empty podium.
Yeah. Yeah. But they couldn't give Bernie any time until his 11th hour. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it was too large to ignore anymore.
Yeah. And it's like, well, basically, I think the Democratic Party kind of brought a little bit of this on themselves.
A lot of this.
Yes, we need to bring that up. That's another person that needs, that's another, someone else that needs to be blamed. The Democratic Party, specifically the people who run it.
Because
had Bernie Sanders. You had a man who had been doing service longer than Hillary Clinton had been by 20 years. A man who had, you know, served quietly in the shadows and then became mayor, eventually a senator. A man who had fought for, you know, health care and, you know, reproductive choice and all the major issues going back since the 70s, be it as, you know, mayor or a congressman. A man who had a real record of success and of being able to bring together the two sides under his belt.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2000, it wasn't unusual for people to have a Bush-Cheney sign on their lawns right next to their Bernie for Congress signs.
Yeah.
Because that's how popular he was. He even got Bush-era Republicans to support him.
Yeah.
Compared to Donald Trump, this guy would have been a shoo-in.
However, outside of people who were already familiar with him, the only feedback I heard from anybody about what they had heard on the news about him was how he was a deadbeat and lived in his car when he was still trying to get his career off the ground. And he was some deadbeat hippie, and why take him seriously? He's just some crazy pothead or something. And that was about the only string of words that other people could put together about him from what they had heard about him on wherever.
Now, granted, his admitted foreign policy plans were a little vague, and that is a, you know, a valid criticism. But, you know, you could have given him the chance to discuss that if you hadn't been ignoring him for so freaking long.
Yeah. If you
so
didn't,
instead,
if didn't
go ahead.
Decided that you know, it was Hillary's turn, and this is what we ended up with.
And before the primaries even started, they had, you know,
they made up their minds,
conspired that yes, Hillary Clinton is going to be our nominee this year, and they basically did everything they possibly could on the ground to manipulate, defraud, and otherwise fake the vote so that it was towards Hillary's way.
Yeah.
And the best that they could say about Hillary was, well, at least she's not Donald Trump. Well, that didn't fucking work, did it?
No.
No, it didn't.
Somebody doesn't want to buy the exact same album twice in a row. When you put out one record, that's great, but why don't you try something else the next time? That's what keeps people coming back.
Yeah.
Yes, the DNC, you know, they, and the first, and what's even worse is, not only did they pick a problematic candidate, they picked one of the most unpopular candidates they've ever put forward.
Yeah.
And she wasn't unpopular without reason.
Like we've said many times on this show, neither candidate is a really good choice.
Yeah.
And it looks like this year, well, nobody turned out for Hillary. So.
Yeah. I really still am a little salty because I feel like Bernie was a good candidate. Yeah. For me, he was. I understand that for other people, he may not have been. But did they really know that? Did they really look at him? Did they really see what he had to say? What he stood for?
He didn't get the chance.
No. I feel like leaving my Bernie magnet on the back of my car for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Scott sure hasn't taken his off. Salty as hell, that one is.
Yeah.
So, to get back down into sort of the nitty-gritties about this, Jimmy Dore from The Young Turks did a video where he pretty much explained really plainly exactly why Hillary Clinton and the Democrats lost. He goes down into various numbers and figures. Did you know that Hillary Clinton, at the end of the election, she actually got 1 million less votes than freaking Mitt Romney did in 2012?
Yeah.
Why is that? Is it that the voting population has declined? Have that many baby boomers died off? Or is it that that many people didn't give a flying frick about getting up there and voting because we get giant douche and turd sandwich?
Well, actually, no, because a lot of the voters that would have normally voted Democratic ended up voting for Trump.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why. And no, it's not necessarily because they were racist or sexist or xenophobic or homophobic or Islamophobic. Don't get me wrong. They're definitely in there.
Some of them are, but thank you for saying that because most of them aren't.
Yeah.
The reason they voted for Trump was because Donald J. Trump was a human hand grenade that they could throw at the establishment in Washington.
Yeah.
That's literally the reason they got him.
Yeah.
See, had they put him up against Bernie Sanders, a man who has been talking about working class and labor politics in the United States long after the Democratic Party had pretty much given up talking about that, a man who did not talk down to your average rural American.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the establishment wishy-washy shithead liberals who run the Democratic Party, who look down at all of us, and yes, I'm putting myself in this equation because, yes, I'm a rural working-class white person. They think we're all racist, stupid hicks who can barely tie our shoes, much less operate a voting booth. You want to talk, and, you know, Teresa also shared a video on Facebook. What was that guy?
Oh, yes. What was his name? Jonathan Rose?
Jonathan Pie.
Pie, yeah. Thank you.
So I'm not sure. Was that thing scripted or was it just...
I believe it was scripted, yes.
It certainly sounds too perfect, but either way, it doesn't matter because he pretty much, but like Jimmy here, he basically hits the nail on the head. It's, again, it's urban, you know, more affluent, quote-unquote liberals, or people who call themselves liberals, basically looking down at the lower classes and thinking they're a bunch of plebs.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I heard was, why didn't Hillary bother coming to Kentucky? Is the person that I was speaking with was from Kentucky. JFK at least came and gave us the time of day. It gave people some hope. And I understand mathematically why she didn't go. I mean, Kentucky was 66% for Donald Trump and only 33% for Hillary. But... And one of the arguments that I've gotten into, or not arguments, it's more of a discussion. It's about the Electoral College. I'm sure many of you have had this discussion. The people in rural America feel very strongly about keeping the Electoral College because they feel that their vote wouldn't get heard otherwise. And the point was made, why don't the presidential candidates visit every single state and have a presence there? And that would be a long campaign trail. I do understand that, but these people
are running for the fucking president.
Yeah. But these people are feeling ignored, disenfranchised. And I guess I can kind of understand why they're looking more favorably at voting for Donald Trump, because he came and gave them the time of day. Yep. And Hillary didn't.
No. She didn't even freaking go to Wisconsin, which was supposed to be a lock for her.
Yeah.
That's what all the polls said. She said Wisconsin is going to be blue. Donald Trump freaking won Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that surprised. I mean, they have Scott Walker, and he didn't get elected by nobody.
Yeah.
You know, That was a place where her feelers, or anybody's feelers, should have been out saying, maybe this is not a shoe-in.
Yeah. Now compare that during the primaries to Bernie Sanders, who was making an effort to actually go out into traditionally red state Republican areas to actually talk to people.
Yeah.
And one thing you can give to Bernie is that Bernie is uncomplicated.
Yeah.
Bernie, you know, Bernie had a plan, plans for everything. You know, if people asked about Hillary Clinton about, you know, her health care plan, she'd circle around the question, try and give a faux answer, and then try to move on to something else. When somebody asked, okay, Bernie, how are you going to pay for your health care plan? We're going to tax the upper class. We're going to put
cut
the military, and we're going to put a tax on speculation.
Mm.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty solid one.
Yeah.
He didn't dance around the question. He just stated matter-of-factly.
Yeah.
No, we had to have Hillary fucking Clinton.
Well, she's done now, so.
Oh, she's not done. She's probably going to go back into the Senate if she can.
Yeah, but, you know, she's not going to be running in 2020.
What? No. Wait, you don't believe that she's on her deathbed? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, she's done. After this disastrous campaign, if she shows her face again, no, don't think she's going to get it.
Yeah. Well, there's...
Besides which.
And there's been that speculation that Donald Trump, being how everybody says that he is, will try to imprison her, whatnot, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You guys did pay attention back in like the 80s or something when he said, if I ran for president, I would be a Democrat, but I would run as a Republican because they're easy to fool and I could get elected. You guys are remembering this, yes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And remembering how he was good friends with the Clintons?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good friends with Clintons.
So
he was even at Chelsea's wedding, I've been told.
Ah. So is he going to be this vindictive neo-Hitler that everybody fears? Or is he going to be like, I said what I said to get elected, now I'm going to do what I want?
Oh, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not so much Trump himself that I'm necessarily afraid of. It's the people that are surrounding him.
Yeah, the rumors
the people,
of...
The people what that is, he's going to be putting into his administration.
Yeah, there's let's a lot put of it, uncertainty right now about that, because, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, we could have a climate change denier at the head of the EPA.
when
we most need that not to happen.
You know who's recently has been put out as a name for a potential attorney general? The recently unelected Sheriff Joe Arpaio from Arizona.
Yeah. Or it could be ass kisser Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah. And there's also still the question of whether or not he's going to make Tom Wheeler resign and basically undo all of the good stuff that he's been doing over the past couple of years.
Yeah. And there's also, of course, the complete person that he might not even really act as, be president in name only.
Hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of talk that most of the show behind the scenes will end up being run by Mike Pence, which is particularly scary if you know anything about Mike Pence.
Hmm. Well, conversion centers.
Yeah, that and everything else, the war on women. I don't know that I buy into that because Donald Trump is so keenly aware of branding that I don't think he would let his name and reputation and his legacy be tarnished in that way. Hmm. He's a businessman. Branding is everything to them. His name, his reputation, that's his bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if I were him, I would not accept a single fucking thing Pence offered me to drink or eat.
Exactly.
You know, we've all watched The Tudors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like now that you bring it up, yeah, he may be president in January, but we don't exactly know how long that will last.
He's got lawsuits that have to be.
Yes, that thing with Trump's university is still going through,
and the rape trial.
Yeah,
trial, and
we've got a president who has a current ongoing rape trial.
And let's be remembered: if he ends up, being, found guilty and forced to go to prison, which means he'll have to be impeached, which then Mike Pence then becomes president of the United States.
And that's probably scarier than Trump.
It is scarier than Trump because Trump is the Peter Principle. He has ended up being promoted, essentially, to the place where he could do the least amount of harm. Now, Mike Pence is pure unadulterated evil in many forms. he's scary.
Yeah. By the way, because you brought it up, you brought up the Electoral College.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up, although this election ended up being a repeat of the 2000 election, because the person who won the popular vote lost at the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, and by the time the votes were counted, it was by over a million.
Mm-hmm. And well, yet, against, let me, because I got into a little pissing match about this one. Against Donald Trump, it was over a million, but when you count in, you know, the other people and Jill Stein.
Third parties, and Jill Stein, Gary Johnson.
Yeah, she didn't get the majority of everyone who voted.
Right.
So there's that little caveat.
Yeah.
But still.
She still won a slim but clear majority.
Yeah.
At the popular, and yet still, Electoral College.
Mm-hmm. Just like Gore. How many more of these am I going to frickin' live through?
It really comes time now. We needed to either adjust, alter, or just in plain abolish the Electoral College altogether.
Well, yeah. See, and the arguments that I have heard is that we are a constitutional republic, not a true democracy. So we can't have a one-to-one vote where everybody's vote counts as one. Because as it's currently set up with the Electoral College, people in Wyoming, mm-hmm. one person's vote counts three times more than one person's vote in Kentucky.
Exactly. That's it's why I said...
fair.
Exactly. That's why I said yeah. alter or adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have populated Mars with robots. We can do a popular vote. Clearly, yeah. clearly, the Electoral College was put in almost 100 years before telephones were even patented. There was a reason why it was put into place. The country was completely different than it is now. It had something to do with slaves, with non-voting people, too.
Yeah.
It also had to do with the fact with the gigantic long distances that.
Yeah. Which these are not relevant in today's world.
Yeah.
In the world of freaking robots and computers in our pocket, we've got the Library of Alexandria sitting in our back pocket. Why do we have to hang on to this old archaic thing?
Well, I'll tell you why. It benefits the establishment.
You got it.
I mentioned this before on another Let's Weekend. Who exactly is in the Electoral College?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically businessmen, corporate executives, lobbyists, former politicians, relatives of politicians, who basically conspire to, in some cases, decide some of these elections years in advance.
Yeah.
That's literally the one reason it's still there.
Yeah.
It's been a thorn in my side for a long time, and I'm sure in other people's. And when can we do something about this?
Well, I'll bring that up in a little bit. First, before we go any further, I wanted to bring this up. Pat, of course, is not with us today. He's doing his Rambat stuff. Last one of the year, so he'll be joining us again next week. But he left this comment here he wanted all of us to read, and so I'm going to read it here. This is what Pat says. He says, I'm not here for the show, but I'd be remiss not to comment on how I can only take offense to being regarded as an American now. These are not my people that did this. This is not my country. Although circumstances keep me here, my conscience demands I disown my nationality as part of my identity. I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but I definitely understand the sentiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm fixing to tell you why. Because as what happened in the UK with Brexit, the day after the election was called, hate crimes jumped up significantly all across the country.
Yep.
And this is the dangerous part about the Trump presidency. He enabled all of these people who had been operating under the surface of polite society. And now they're out in full force.
Yeah.
They are now taking to the streets, to harass minorities across the country. There are kids in schools all over America imitating what Trump said at their schools, chanting "Build the Wall" at minority and Latino students. There has been racist graffiti found all over the U.S. in schools.
On college campuses, yeah.
On college campuses. There was a big white nationalist unity rally on Saturday before the election. Most people, that managed to get drowned out by various anti-fascists who showed up. But now the KKK is calling for a victory parade for Trump's nomination.
And that's only 1 to 3 days after the election.
And the people at the scumbags over at the Daily Stormer have now started a campaign to harass various minority LGBT women or feminist groups into suicide. That is their stated goal.
Yeah.
And if one of those pricks happens to be listening to my voice at this moment, I want to give them just a little piece of knowledge that they should know about. I've got guns too, motherfucker. You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
You're not.
You're totally not. You're not.
Because that's the thing about these pricks. They have this image, this projection that they put on all the people that they hate. Mm. And they don't realize that we're willing to fight back. Mm. I'm willing to fight back.
And they don't realize, even though our ideologies are different, how much we still have in common. And that's what's been lost so much in the past decade, is finding common ground. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
And let's see.
I do have to give credit where credit is due, though. Because, you know, Trump's acceptance speech, I guess what we could call it, was remarkably cogent.
Yes, it was. And yeah, I won't deny
because he
that.
Didn't write it.
Exactly.
So he needs to obviously come out against these people that are harassing others based solely on their race or gender.
Yeah. He will not. He would. Well, okay. He might. Superficially.
Yeah.
He wants us all to come together while many of his core people are trying to tear us apart.
Remember that this man, when he first announced his candidacy, basically became infamous overnight because of the comments he made of about Mexican people.
Yeah.
And it only got worse than from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Maya Angelou once said that if you want to know, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember the exact quote, but you should probably take the word of someone the first time you meet.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt in my mind that Donald Trump really is a racist scumbag. And that he really does believe a lot of the shit that he talks about. And that man is going to be our president.
Yeah.
And he's enabled all of these awful, horrible people to commit these acts of hate and destruction against innocent people.
Yeah.
He's done away with the positive peer pressure that used to exist. They knew it wasn't acceptable. And it kept them at bay. And now what do we have to keep them at bay?
It's just political violence.
It's really bad when most parents woke up Wednesday morning and had to tell their children what had happened. And had to say, look, if you see people with brown skin getting harassed, And if you see LGBT people getting harassed, which my kid didn't even know what that meant, anybody who has different views about relationships, you have to tell somebody. And if nobody fixes it, you have to say, that's not right. You have to stop bothering them.
Yeah.
A mother should not have to tell their child that they have to look out for Nazis as they're going to school in the morning.
Yeah.
And a mother that I know shouldn't have to hold her hysterical child because he's petrified that she's going to be deported because her great-great-grandfather came here from Mexico. There's no reason why children should be that stressed out about the possibility of being separated from their parents. This is what all of this has done. This is reality.
Yeah.
I wish I was making that up, but I'm not.
Yeah, just looking at the Twitter moment collection of all these stories, how many of them are taking place at elementary schools?
Mm-hmm.
Such is scary as hell. Mm-hmm. At the kids that you think aren't paying attention have been all along and are enacting a lot of the things that Trump has been saying to the other kids that are, you know, Latino or Black or Asian, mm-hmm. Muslim, all that. They don't know any better.
Mm-hmm. You know, 2016 was the wrong year to stop homeschooling.
But if there is one ray of light that came out of this, it's the fact that the election may have been called around midnight of November 8, 2016, but the resistance began in the early morning hours of November 9th, immediately, spontaneously, all over the country. All of these protesters showed up. There was no organization, no pre-planning to speak of. People just poured out of their homes, out of their schools, out of their places of work. And they showed that they are not going to be kowtowed into submission by a battalion of slimy, utter scumbag fascist slime. Because I want to tell everyone a little story. Both of my great granddads, they're both gone now. My great granddad, on my dad's side, died of cancer. My great granddad on my mother's side, Grandpa Smith, he died of old age. He died when he was in his early 90s. Both of them fought scumbags like David Duke and, you know, the Traditionalist Workers' Party and the National Socialist Movement over in Europe during World War II. He even managed to shoot a couple of them while their battalion was bearing down on his battalion with their bayonets exposed and ready to thrust into every American they saw. They did that during the greatest conflict the human race has ever known. I'm not fucking afraid of their puny, cute little rallies. I'm not afraid of your words. If you think you're going to intimidate me, you're wrong. I'm not afraid of you. I will fight you when I see you. Because I will not, as long as I live, allow my country to go into the night. I will fight it. And all I have to say now is, the trumpet of the resistance has called. Are you going to answer it? Whose side are you on? Because the day will come very soon when you'll have to answer that question. November 8th was just the beginning. It's on, motherfucker. And now that I've got out of the way, I'd like to take a couple hours to talk to you about Jesus. By the way, I need to bring this up. A couple of NBA coaches, Stan Van Gundy and Greg Popovich, they were not particularly happy about Trump's victory, were they, Chris?
No. So as people may know, the NBA is predominantly a Black league.
Yeah.
And these are two white coaches who are very smart, very tuned into what their players care about, and both are particularly very much not happy to see how Trump's victory has affected his players and the country as a whole. So Stan Van Gundy, just look through a few of his quotes. See, I don't think anybody can deny this guy is openly and brazenly racist and misogynistic. We have just thrown a good part of our population under the bus. And I have problems with thinking this is where we are as a country. And let's see, and he was on the bus with his players after the game. They got beats. Was initially thinking that maybe they were down after that. But now one of the players said it's about the election. And he also says, it's just we have said, and my daughters, the three of them, our society has said, no, we think you should be second-class citizens. We want you to be second-class citizens. We embrace a guy who's openly misogynistic as our leader. I don't know how we get past that. I understand problems with the economy. I understand all the problems with Hillary Clinton. I do. But certain things in our country should disqualify you. And the fact that millions and millions of Americans don't think that racism and sexism disqualifies you to be our leader in our country. We presume to tell other countries about human rights abuses and everything else. We better never do that again when our leaders talk to China or anybody else about human rights abuses. We just elected an openly brazen, misogynistic leader. We should keep our mouths shut and realize that we need to be learning, maybe from the rest of the world, because we don't got anybody to teach anybody. We don't got anything to teach anybody. It's embarrassing. I have been ashamed of a lot of things that have happened in this country, but I can't say I've ever been ashamed of our country until today. Until today, we all have to find our way to move forward, but that was, and I'm not even trying to make a political statement. To me, that's beyond politics. That's just Stan Van Gundy. Rick Povich echoes a lot of it. Also talks about, I look at the evangelicals and I wonder, those values don't mean anything to them. All those values to me are more important than anybody's skill in business or anything else, because it tells who we are, how we want to live, and what kind of people we are. That's why I have great respect for people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, John Kasich, who I disagree with on a lot of political things, but they had enough fiber and respect for humanity and tolerance for all groups to say what they said about the man. That's what worries me. I get it. Of course, we want to be successful. We're all going to say that. Everybody wants to be successful. It's our country. We don't want it to go down the drain, but any reasonable person would come to that conclusion. But it does not take away from the fact that he used that fear-mongering and all the comments from day one, the race baiting with trying to make Barack Obama, our first black president, illegitimate. He leaves me wondering where I've been living, with whom I'm living. So, yeah.
So,
yeah.
We have pretty much, I think, at least for tonight, drained as much from this topic as we can. At least as much that so we don't exhaust ourselves with our rage.
Yeah.
I want to assure all the people who are listening to me tonight, we at Smashpad are all inherently political people, but at the end of the day, Smashpad is still primarily a video game site, and we will still be talking about video game and video game related stuff, including here on Let's Weekend. I promise you personally that unless something extreme happens going forward, the last half hour of me speaking is the most serious you'll ever hear me. Make no mistake, I meant every word that I just said, but I don't want anyone to become overly pessimistic, because at the end of the day, I am an optimist. I do not like cynicism. In fact, I view it as probably my least favorite characteristic in humanity. So I promise to you, from here on out, after this election, we will still be doing all the fun stuff. Obviously, we'll still have our assholes of the week and our heroes of the week, but mostly we're going to be saying the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
And it's important to keep doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember, the November 8th was a wake-up call. You've seen the situation that the U.S. is now in. You see what the problem is. Now you work towards the solution. That's.
And I also want to ask anyone else who is not an American who is listening to us now, no matter what the election may have told you about American people, I want you to understand that didn't represent the overall character of America. Yes, Donald Trump still won the election, but just barely. And know that the moment the race was called, thousands upon thousands of people all over the nation poured out onto the streets to show their displeasure.
Yeah.
We're going to need your guys' help going from here on out. Yeah. That includes our friends up in Canada. Yeah. Because I don't want to think that the worst will happen and that there might actually be some real American refugees flooding across the border. But as we mentioned earlier, the Canadian government is considering loosening a lot of those older restrictions in preparation in case the worst does happen.
Yeah.
And before we go, we sign off. I just want to read a little piece, something that has always been important to me and has always helped me to keep a clear head. It's a little poetic piece by the late Renaissance man, Gil Scott Heron. It's called "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised." And I would like to read it to you now. The revolution will not be televised. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color television into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 or report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers in the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers in the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, the Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damned relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally gets down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of hairy armed women liberations and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb, Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back. After a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people, you will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, a tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight the germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no reruns, brother. The revolution will be live. And with that, I would like to let everyone who is listening know you can, in fact, email us and reach us here at Let's Weekend at letsweekenders@gmail.com. We will be leaving the link in the show notes. Yep. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add before we sign off?
I think I've said everything I want to say.
Indeed.
Chris, you got anything you want to add?
I will say in 4 years, 2020, there's an important anniversary. It's the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment.
Yes.
So keep in mind that what happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in the back of your mind for the next 4 years.
Exactly.
Good point.
And with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Lupo D'Onofrio, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Sammons, I would like to say good night and good luck.